Heavenly Father, we do just thank you. We thank you for your love, for your mercy, for the grace that you pour out to us. We thank you, Lord, that you do not ask us to do the things that you have called us to do by our own strength or by our own power, but you equip us. Lord, as we sit quietly in your presence, you equip us, Lord, for the work ahead, for the things that we need to do. Lord, we thank you that you are so patient and kind with us. You know that we are but children in your presence, that we have no understanding of your long-term plans, but Lord, we just seek you day by day to fulfill that which you have planned for us for this moment, for this hour. Lord, I pray that as Jesus Christ set the example, that we need to be before you at all times, praying continuously because of the situations that we face. We don't know what's around the next bend, and I pray, Father, that you would prepare our hearts. Prepare our hearts to come before you, to seek direction, to seek the grace needed in time of trouble. So, Lord, I pray that as we look into your word, that you would teach us, that you would instruct us, for that's what your word is for, instruction in righteousness. And I pray, Father, that we would be pleasing to you as we go through this life. Lord, let us be a light to those around us of the wonderful things that you have for them that love you. We love you, Lord, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Now we kind of went through, well, we did go through verses 1 through 7 last week. However, it kind of falls into place with what in verse 8, where we were picking it up today, Jannes and Jambres. Now, these were the guys, these were the priests of Pharaoh that withstood Moses. When Moses cast down his rod in Pharaoh's presence, what happened? The high priest did the same. But here, we find out what their names are. I wonder why is that significant? Do we need to really put a name to those that oppose the Lord? Because we know that Paul tells us, hey, they oppose themselves. They don't oppose God. Because they're stopping themselves from seeing the truth. Because they're believing their own lies. They're being deceived. And as they deceive others, they're being deceived themselves. And this is a very bad place to be when you start to believe your own press. And that's happening today. We can see it all over the place where, you know, you can look and see people that have named ministries after themselves. I thought it was the ministry of Jesus Christ, not minister of Reverend so-and-so. Or Bishop so-and-so, or Elder so-and-so. It was supposed to be about Jesus Christ, and therefore the name of the ministry should be the ministry of Jesus Christ. But no. And so what happens is when, like Jannes and Jambres, they stood before Moses, they had all of the answers. And if they misspoke, guess what? Hey, they were in big trouble. If they said, oh, you know what, I was wrong on that point. You can't do that. When you set yourself up in ministry and you set yourself up as being infallible where you can't make a mistake, well, guess what? You're just setting yourself up for a fall. Because what happens then is that you think that every word that comes out of your mouth is straight from the Lord. And that's not always the case. Not always the case at all. The only word that comes straight from the Lord is the Word of God. As he's going to say before, or say in a little bit, that all scriptures is God-breathed. It comes from God. And so we can use the scripture to encourage, to reprove, and it's an instruction in righteousness. This is what the Word of God is for. But if we start to believe the things that we've said about ourselves, that, hey, man, we're the leaders of this great church, and everything that we say, man, that's not the case. And I have seen time and time again where people will get caught up and say something that's just like out in left field, and all of a sudden a new doctrine is born. And people follow after it. And when people start to believe that doctrine and start to parrot that doctrine, guess what? It's hard to backtrack from them. Chuck Smith would, he had a radio program, Pastor's Perspective. And there were some times where he would say things, but then he would backtrack and say, well, you know what? I misspoke there. I am human. I did misspeak on that. You know, I wasn't, you know, I didn't get the full story or what have you. But he would always check himself. He would go back and actually listen to the things that he said. And this is a hard thing. You know, I start to listen to my own message, and I'm thinking, gosh, that's a flinger. You know, get that. I can't listen to that. Maybe I can't stand the sound of my own voice, and I'm surprised that you're able to stand it. But punish you, yeah. Seriously? Thank you so much. Yes. You're right, it is God's grace. But look what happened here. Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. Now Moses was trying to save Egypt. He was trying to save Egypt. The Lord told Moses at the bush, said, I am going to destroy Egypt. Now, he had lived in Egypt for 40 years. He knew people there. He loved people there. The circumstances got caught up where he had to flee. He killed somebody, and he had to flee from Pharaoh. There were, you know, I mean, you think about it. You live 40 years somewhere. Man, it's, I know these people. I love these people. And now the Lord says, I am going to destroy them by your hand, Moses. Oh, my gosh. You mean I've got to go back there and tell them that they're going to be destroyed? And so look at the heart of what Moses was doing. He's trying to stop Egypt from being destroyed. Let my people go. The Lord commands it. Let my people go. Thinking that perhaps that because maybe they reverenced gods, that this God would have an effect. That they would say, let my people go. But little did Moses know, well, he did tell Moses, he says, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will not listen to you. So here's Moses. His heart is breaking. Remember, Moses was the meekest man that ever lived. He wasn't some ostentatious, you know, superpower. He was this meek and mild little guy that came in there and said, let my people go. I wish I could see the scene on that, but these guys come up there with their magic sticks and they throw them down and they become serpents too. But Moses did something that they couldn't duplicate. And it's kind of not really brought out in the scripture. What else did Moses do in the face of Pharaoh? He stuck his hand in his bosom and pulled it out and it was leprous. We forget about that. What was the whole point of that? Leprosy is a type of incurable sin. And then he stuck his hand back into his bosom and pulled it out again. And it was clean. It doesn't say anything about him duplicating. In fact, it doesn't even talk about doing that at all. But at the bush, the Lord said to show these signs and wonders to Pharaoh. So I can only assume that he did that because Moses was obedient. He did exactly what he was told to do. But for some reason, it's not recorded there. And I think that's kind of interesting. So now we know the names of these guys. What does it afford us? What does it matter that we know their names? Nothing. It's just that the Lord says, there's names. These were actual people. These weren't forces. These weren't, you know, things that weren't seen. These guys actually existed, and they have names. And here they are. And so, he had named names before, remember, earlier in the book. And he says that they are men of corrupt minds, reprobate, concerning the faith. They had no moral discipline at all. That's what reprobate means, no moral discipline. They had nothing that was going to be good in God's presence because it was concerning the faith. And so, what happens? You know, they shall proceed no further. Now, making the correlation between these guys and the guys that are spreading the things that we just read about. Now, all of those things that we read from verse 1 through verse 7 resides in each and every one of us. All of those things. Go through that list. You can see each and every attribute there exists within us. The only thing that holds it back, the only thing is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit checks these things, keeps them under control. That's what self-control is all about. It's not self in control, it's the Holy Spirit in control of these things. And he's reining them back. He's constraining them from coming out. And when they start to come out, which they do from time to time, what happens? The first thing that happens is that we lose the joy of our salvation. There's no more joy anymore because these attributes are now coming out in us. And so we read these things. And the thing is that Paul is not talking to the outside world here. He's talking to the church. These things are going to be attributes in the people of the church. That's why I find it so fascinating about Pentecost, which was last week, by the way. Pentecost was, you know, like, you know, Passover. We saw that Passover, hey, it was mandatory. You go through your house, make sure there's no leaven. Leaven's a type of sin. In fact, they even make a game out of it. They send the children throughout the house and they hide little bags of leaven everywhere so that the kids have something to find. Here's what we, and it's fascinating to me that that's exactly what we're called to do. Search yourself. See if there's anything wicked in you and confess it. I found it. And what do you do with it? You throw it away. Get rid of it. Get it out of the house. Fascinating how they made a little game of it for the children to pass along to their children. This is what we have to do. We have to search our houses to see if there's any leaven in there. Is there any sin in our lives? Let's get it out. And then Pentecost comes around, and it's mandatory that they bake in leaven with the bread. Fascinating how us, we have this sin in our lives. It's not buried. It's not taken out. We're not automatically super-duper saints, as J. Vernon McGee would put it. We're not gleaming in the sun. We can't walk down the street and glow in the dark. No need of traffic lights because you can see everybody. Right? No, it's because sin dwells in us, and yet the God of the universe dwells in us as well. And sin abounds in us. But the Holy Spirit abounds even more and brings these things to light. So all of those things that we read about are in us. And what should that do? That should keep us humble. That should keep us from lording it over somebody else. Oh, you're having a problem with that again, huh? Well, if you were like me and strong in the Spirit, then... No, if you were strong in the Spirit, then you'd be on your face before the Lord praying for that person, helping them, coming alongside to encourage, if you were filled with the Spirit. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men as theirs also was. So their folly was that they resisted Moses, they resisted God, and their land was destroyed. They deceived Pharaoh into thinking that they were something, and it destroyed him. Just like these things that abound in people in the church, they come, oh, well, you know, and they're, and what was one of the things? They despised those that were good. They despised those who wanted to walk by the Spirit. And yet these were prominent people in the church. And they're in the church today. And they despise those that want to walk godly. Why do they do this? Because they're being deceived. They deceive themselves, and they are being deceived. They have different doctrines, and they want to bring in the doctrines. If you don't believe exactly like this, well, then you're not saved. There's a whole denomination out there of folks that, you know, in fact, they split and split and split, and there's many different denominations of the same vein that believe the same things, but yet they're split on little pieces of doctrine here and there. It's probably, you know, a source of glee for the enemy. They look, oh yeah, we're splitting them up. When the Spirit says you need to be unified, you need to be unified in the things that you believe. What do you believe? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Let's stick with the basics. It's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. There is nothing else. There's nothing else worth fighting for. There is no other doctrine that needs to be, you know, hammered about. If you believe this way, God bless you. And if you don't believe that way, God bless you too. It doesn't mean that you're not going to heaven. The only people that are not going to heaven are people that are ignoring or rejecting Jesus Christ. While we're on that subject, I think even human logic would dictate, that if you don't want to be with the Lord now, it isn't going to be heaven for you in eternity just to be forced to be spending the time with them. Think about it. Is it right that we should force somebody to do something? No. It has to be free will. We are free moral agents to do as we will. And we can choose to believe, But we can choose not to believe. We can choose to worship. We can choose not to worship. We can choose to obey the word of God, or we can choose not to. Just like it says here. They will proceed no further. They may be here among you 7 days a week in the church, lifting up their hands in worship, but if they're not following after Jesus Christ, they're wasting their time. Maybe they think, well, I don't know what they think. It's hard to say what they think. But they shall be known because what they are will be manifest. People will see it. And what did the Lord say? What did Paul say to do? He said, stay away from them. Don't hang with them. Because they will rub off on you. They will be bad influences on you. We want to be positive influences. So we need to check ourselves. Am I being a positive influence on the people around me? Do people want to worship the Lord? Have they been around me? Have I led anybody to Christ? And it's not just leading an unsaved person to Christ, but it's leading your brothers and sisters to Christ. That's paramount. It's what we're supposed to do. That's what Jesus did, didn't he? Jesus showed the disciples the Father. I am showing you the Father because you've never seen him before. You don't know who the Father is. I'm going to introduce you to him. And as believers, we need to encourage, hey, come to the Father. Come, drink of the well. We sang about it today. Come, dip your heart in the streams of life. Drink without money. You don't have to buy it. It's free. The Lord gives it to you freely. And so now he's changing subjects here. Okay, enough with that bad stuff. Enough with those guys that do this. Because you know me. Now remember, this is Paul's last will and testament to his son Timothy. Before he goes, and this was written after the second time he went before Nero. So he's going to the Colosseum. He's going to be sacrificed. He knows he's in for it. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. How did he know that? Because he spent time with him. Just like the disciples spent time with Jesus. And when the Pharisees looked upon John and Peter in the temple teaching, they looked on him and says, man, these guys are just humble fishermen. They're ignorant fishermen. Where did they get such knowledge? And they realized that they had been with Jesus. That was their school. They had been with Jesus. And it's the same thing here. Timothy had been with Paul. He traveled with him. He saw these things. And so he said, you know it. You know my doctrine. You know what I was teaching. You know my manner of life, how I conducted myself, my purpose. My purpose was to spread the gospel because the Lord called me to spread the gospel to the Gentiles. My faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. And those are all right so far until we get to verse 11. And then we kind of wince a little bit. Because now this is where the shoe is going to get a little tight. Persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions? I endured. I endured them. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. You see, Paul did not seek to be relieved of these things. He let the Lord do it. He says, I'm going through these things because the Lord says that I need to, and I'm going to let him deliver me. So often, that's what we want to do. It starts to get, you know, like a vice. It starts to get a little tight in there. Man, we're trying to squirm to get out of it. No, I got you in this position because I want to teach you something. I want you to know something about me. I want you to see how I am going to deliver. Instead of sitting quietly sometimes, we cry out, and so we should. We should cry out unto the Lord. But those are the times where we usually say, but the Lord doesn't answer me. I can't hear his voice because the pressures are too great. Does that mean the Lord doesn't hear? Does that mean the Lord doesn't care? Absolutely he does. And he puts you in this situation because he wants to show himself strong in your life. There's an example of that in the scriptures, many examples, but one that comes to mind is the children of Egypt, or children of Israel, as they're coming out of Egypt and they're camped by the Red Sea. They're all thinking, man, this is great. And then all of a sudden they hear that thunder of hooves of the horses and the chariots coming up. And they see him coming over the rise. And they see, hey, we're going to be wiped out. Who would have thought? Who would have thought for one second that the Lord was going to deliver the way that he delivered? First of all, he blocked the way of the enemy. He sent down fire. That pillar of the cloud that was shielding them turned into a pillar of fire and blocked the way of the Egyptians from coming. And then, and I'm sure they could have predicted this, then the Lord sent an east wind, and it blew all night. And it parted the Red Sea and made the ground dry. It was dry ground that they went through. It wasn't wet mud. They went on dry ground over through the Red Sea. But when the Egyptians started to do that, they got hung up in the mire. It wasn't dry ground for them. And then they were drowned as the sea closed in. Who would have thought? You see? Are you in the midst? Are you seeing the chariots on one side and the sea on the other? Do you see yourself to be trapped and you start to be squeezed? Well, guess what? The Lord wants to show himself strong, but he's going to do it in a way that you had no idea that it was going to happen. And if you try to get yourself out of that situation, now they could have started swimming across the Red Sea. They could have started doing that. Or they could have surrendered to the Egyptians. They could have done that. Or they could have killed themselves. They could have done that. But they stood still, just like Moses told them. Moses stood and said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stop wriggling. Stop worrying about it. Look to the Lord. Let him deliver you. And in his good time, he will deliver you because you're his. And, it's going to be in your coffers in heaven. It's going to be treasures untold. I was under this pressure and I stood still and depended upon the Lord. Everybody else said run. But I said, no, I'm just going to depend on the Lord. Oh, you're stupid. You're crazy. Oh, you're not being very responsible. I'm going to stand still and wait for the salvation of the Lord. That is biblical, folks. That is biblical. And he's going to come through in his good time and in his good way to show you that it couldn't have been anybody else. It couldn't have been anybody else that delivered. It had to be him. Because he's the only one that can deliver in such a wonderful way. So persecutions, afflictions, I get that. Because he's going to say, and he's going to pair it what Jesus says, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, if that's not in your Bible, please raise your hand. No? Okay. Because sometimes they like to, you know, pull these things out. And I know there are certain denominations, there are certain factions of Christianity that would like to rewrite these things. So if you have one of the translations that don't have that in there, you need to get a decent one. Okay? There's one left. So, look at this verse very carefully, please. Okay? It says, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, we read that and we say, okay, yeah, I get that. And we expect that persecution to come from where? Outside. We expect it to come from other religions. We expect it to come from our government. We expect it to cover, not our government, but some other government, but the world of men. This is what we're expecting. He's not talking about the world. He's talking about the church. The church is going to come against you. Those that maybe you even respect. You listen to their teaching on the radio or see them on TV. You go by what the Word of God says, and guess what? You are going to suffer persecution. It's a fact. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And that's the last thing he says about that. And then he starts up again with the evil guys. Come on, really? But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. These are people in the church. Of churchianity, as I like to call it. Not the bride of Christ, but they are the tares among the wheat. They are there to seduce. And if it were possible, that they would even deceive the very elect. But it's not possible. You have to hang on to this. It is not possible to deceive the very elect because you've been called from the foundation of the world. From the foundation of the world. Before the world even began, he had called you. He called you by name and says, this is mine, and I'm going to keep him. And he is the author and the finisher of our faith. And we can't get out even if we wanted to. It's like Noah's Ark. Noah was shut in the ark 7 days before the flood came. He couldn't get out even if he wanted to. He was trapped. He was trapped in God's graces. And that's where we are. We are trapped in God's grace because we have been called from the foundation of the world. But yet, there were people that out there will try to shipwreck your faith. They'll bring in damnable heresies and call them the doctrines of God. I heard from God, an angel of God appeared to me and said, thus and thus and so. And it's happening, and it's going to happen even more and more and more. I saw an apparition. I saw a spirit. I saw... The Word of God is what you measure everything by. And that is everything. I mean, what I say, what anybody else says, the Word of God has to be the last resort. This is your anchor. This is your rock. Not what I say. Not what anybody else says. Whether it's on TV, the radio, whatever. Doesn't matter how much you respect them, how big of a following they have. If they speak anything against the Word of God, that's it. It's over. Until they repent of that, and this is what the Word of God says. Now, if you're into the Word of God, if you're studying to show yourself approved unto God, the Holy Spirit is going to teach you. The Holy Spirit is going to give you the unction to believe those things. But if you're going to hang on every word that somebody else says, you're going to be deceived. You're going to follow down the wrong... It doesn't mean that you're going to be unsaved, as some people claim, but you're just going to be confused. The Lord is not the author of confusion. He is the author of a sound mind. And the things that you read here is going to give you a sound mind. It's going to allow you to think clearly for a change. You see, the world, that's all you're going to receive is confusion. You know, wow, man. And they're going to ask silly questions, which Paul told Timothy, don't even answer them. Don't answer a fool in his folly. You stick with the Word of God because this is the only thing that you can really count on. Nothing else, and nothing more. Devotions. I do read devotions. I do. But it's not a substitute for a diet of the Word of God. I mean, they're nice. You know, I post to myself every now and again on social media because I think, man, this really spoke to me. But that is not a substitute for the pure Word of God. It's like, you know... Like my wife, she bakes cakes, if you didn't know that. And sometimes she'll take a little dab of, flavoring or whatever, put it in there and mix it up. And what I see is the flavoring is the pure stuff, but it's mixed up with all of this other stuff. So it's diluted, if you will, or expounded upon. This is what we do when we have Bible studies. We're expounding upon the Word of God. We're taking the pure Word of God, breaking it apart so that, you know, we can understand it a little better. That kind of a thing. But evil men will come in with false doctrine, trying to seduce you. But if you're grounded in the Word of God, you're going to be able to recognize it. And you say, you know, that doesn't even sound right. It's never happened. You know, you'd be going along listening to something on the radio or on TV, not here, of course. And then all of a sudden, man, you know what? He just said something just doesn't sit right. Well, that's discernment happening. That means that you've read something in the Word and it's counter to what you've just heard. Hopefully you've never heard it here. I see a lot of shaking your heads. Yeah, I've heard that. Well, good. Check me on it. Don't take my word for it. It's right there. If you don't agree with what I'm saying, then you're wrong. No. How dare you? No. But even evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Not Paul. Not Paul. Paul is not talking about himself here. He's saying, be assured of the things which you have learned. Be assured of what? The Word of God. That this is the Word of God. Be assured of that. And who have you learned about? Jesus Christ. This is whom you can have assurance in. Not Paul, not TJ, not John, not Paul, not anybody else. It has to be... No, I wasn't going to say that. It has to be Jesus Christ and His Word. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Understand that. So everything in the Word of God is as if it were from His own lips, and it is from His own lips. And we need to treat it as such. So continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. The Holy Spirit is the one that teaches us. We need to call upon the Holy Spirit to teach us as we read the Word. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Okay? Understand this. This is what the Scriptures are for, to make us wise of salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, the only thing that they had was the Old Testament, folks. So, in the Old Testament was the grace and assurance of salvation through Jesus Christ. How about that? Now, this is a study within itself. Go through the Old Testament and see where Jesus Christ is mentioned. See where he is alluded to in the sacrifices, in the prophets, in all of the things that happened in there. He is there. He is prominent. The Psalms, I mean, I'm having a ball going through the Psalms because I see Jesus Christ on every page, whether it's being spoken about him or the things that he's going to relay to us. Man, it's phenomenal. Make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That's the essence of the gospel. Salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. If you can underline that, go ahead. You know, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Okay, first of all, the source, the Holy Scriptures, which are able. Now, this is neat, because the Scriptures are able, through the Holy Spirit, to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, in which is in Christ Jesus. Those that pretend at it don't have faith. They pretend to have faith. And they pretend to be Christians. And you can't tell them apart from the real deal, because they're very well at deceiving and being deceived. But don't let that deter you. Don't let that stop you from being a child of God. Don't take your cue from somebody else. Well, it's okay, they're doing it. And they're Christians. I guess it's okay for... No. If you can't line it up with Scripture, folks, don't do it. If you can't sit there and chapter and verse, yep, I can do this. Don't do it. I don't care who's doing it. I don't care what's going on. Because as the time goes by, men will wax worse and worse, deceiving themselves and being deceived. All Scripture, now again, keep on underlining. Verse 16, 2 Timothy 3:16. The 3:16 seem to be very prominent. Do a study on that. You can go through and kind of, these are really standout Scriptures. All Scripture. Did you get that? Remember how we did our little Hebrew and Greek lesson, right? All means all, right? That means everything. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Stop. Okay, it's a comma, I know, but let's pretend for a second that there's a period in there. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Let that sink in for a second. All Scripture, everything from Genesis to Malachi, this is what they had at the time, everything from Genesis to Malachi is given by inspiration of God. This is the Word of God. And so now we've added on to it, right? We've added on from Matthew to Revelation. Okay? So we see that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And you say, well, what was the criteria and all of that? It doesn't matter. What matters is that the whole aspect of the Scripture is redemption. How God has redeemed man back to himself. Not the other way around. How man can be redeemed unto God. God has done the work. He set these things forth. And he's given us his word to make it clear to us if we have the Holy Spirit. If we don't have the Holy Spirit, then we're going to be confused. And we're going to make things up as we go along to try to make ourselves something when we're nothing. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, comma, and is profitable for doctrine, comma, for reproof, comma, for correction, comma, for instruction in righteousness. Colon. But this is what it's for. This is not to take it outside and beat people over the head with it. They are not bound by the commandments of God. You know who's bound by the commandments of God? Those who profess God. The outside world, this has no bearing. There is no reason in the world we should take our Bibles and start thumping them on the head. Okay? They're in enough problems. They have enough problems of their own. They're facing this life on their own. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how lonely that is? Man, I got nobody to depend on. I'm dependent upon myself. Have you ever been in that situation? Yes, you've all been in that situation. But we have Jesus Christ now. And he's the one fighting our battles. He's the one that's going to bat for us. He's the guy that's working things out in our lives. So, yeah, this is great. So this is for us. not for the outside world. It's profitable for doctrine. This is where we get our doctrine from. Anything that you have as far as doctrine that comes outside of the Bible, reject it. For reproof. That means yourself, as you examine yourself and you see the things that you're doing, oh man, the Bible says I shouldn't be doing them. Guess what? Okay? We repent and the Lord forgives us. For correction, same deal. For instruction in righteousness so that we know how to conduct ourselves. This is how we conduct ourselves. This is holiness unto the Lord. He defines it for us. This is holiness. That you should love the Lord your God with all. And all means?
All.
No, that was half-hearted. Is this on? All of your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. That's holiness unto the Lord. That's instruction in righteousness. That the man of God, not the man of the world, not the man of the flesh, but the man of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. If we are complete in God, we know that we trust in Him to give us the resources to be able to fulfill His will. We don't have to conjure them up. We don't have to have bake sales to raise money to get God's will done. God's will is going to be done when the people of God kneel before Him, give Him the glory due His name, and watch Him work. That's how it's done. How much did the children of Israel help along the plan of God? Actually, they were kind of in the way, weren't they? And yet, the will of God was done in spite of them. The will of God was done in spite of them. So, the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And if they're good works, Jesus tells us, they're God's work, working through us. That includes faith, salvation, right? All of those neat things that we think that I saw the light. And I responded properly, so I must have had some kind of onus, right? Well, you know. When we had our firstborn, we went through new parent syndrome. And we would check the children every once in a while. Children were in the nursery or in the other room there. And, oh, I don't hear the kid. Is he breathing? Well, let's turn the light on and find out. What happened? Turned the light on and the kid woke up. It's the same thing with us. The Lord turned the light on and we were able to respond. But He turned it on before we were ever born. He gave us the unction that we were going to be saved before we were ever born. Even though we were in sin until that time where we did it, when we turned our lives over to Him. Lord, I've been going the wrong way all this time. You want me to go this way. I've been going that way. I want to bow to Your will, not to my will. That's what it is. When we turn around, we repent, we turn around. We go the other way. Before I was an enemy of God. Now I'm a friend of God. Why? Because I'm going the right way. I'm going in the paths that He's leading me into. Thank You, Lord, for blocking my own way. Heavenly Father, we do thank You. We thank You for Your love, for Your mercy, and the grace that You pour out to us. And Lord, I pray that You would continuously pour out Your Spirit, Your grace, Your mercy, and Your peace on us, because we desperately need it. We thank You for just all the things that You have done in our lives up to this point and the things that You continue to do. Lord, we love You and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank You for that.